Hey everyone, this is Ashley, producer of the OpStars podcast. Today we're bringing you a special episode featuring a live session recorded at OpStars 2023 in San Francisco. Enjoy.
All right. You're all going to let me know if you, okay, I can hear that one. So the kids are getting older. In addition to, part of being a dad, I've sort of become known the last year or two as somebody who sprinkles dad jokes throughout my presentation. So be prepared for some. There's a couple new ones in this presentation, but to kick that off, I always like to open with this one, which is, when does a dad joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. Okay, so what are we covering? Oh, first Ashley's gonna introduce herself.
I don't think my mic, oh, there it goes. So just to give you a 10,000 foot view on me, I've been working in operations for about 10 years. I actually started in sales ops, moved to marketing ops, now work in a hybrid type rev ops role at demand base, which I feel like a lot of us are in the same boat. Have always been a huge fan of puzzles and data and avid spreadsheet user. Would love to tell you about my favorite personal and professional spreadsheets after the presentation, but excited to share some insights with you today.
Awesome, thank you. So what we're going to cover is, first introducing, why do metrics and reports matter, especially to a CMO? And then we're going to go over a couple areas of key types and categories of reports. Primarily, Ashley will be presenting what the actual reports that we use at Demandbase look like. And then I might jump in with a little bit of, kibitzing behind that. I've always long felt that marketers deserve a seat at the revenue table. And, that maybe doesn't sound like so astounding news here in 2023, but it wasn't always this way. For a long time, a lot of other executives would look at the marketing department as the group that would throw parties and print color brochures and things like that. And it is really the use of good analytics and good metrics that give marketing the respect and the accountability to sort of, again, sit there alongside the head of sales and other departments, as part of that revenue table. So this really does matter if you get the metrics right. So I wanted to start with, what are the types of metrics that are wrong? Where metrics actually can hurt our credibility, as a CMO. And that first one is what I call vanity metrics. Vanity metrics are things that sound good, but fail to actually justify marketing investment. So a great example of this is event attendance. We had 350 people at our webinar. I don't care, right? Think about how much more powerful it is to say, we had 350 people at the webinar. This many of them came from our target accounts. This many of those were from our ideal customer profiles. And based upon historical performance, I expect that that's going to then contribute to $1.2 million of pipeline. Right? Just that change is so much more credibility building, both to you as the marketer and for the CMO. Next is measuring activity and not results. I really learned this lesson when I was the CEO. It's really easy to see marketing activities, right? We run this event, we do this trade show, and it's also really easy to measure marketing cost, because as the CEO or the CFO, I'm literally signing checks, right? So I viscerally feel the cost going out the door. Flip side, on the sales world, it's hard to see activity. You don't know what all these reps are doing, and are they, maybe they're logging their calls or not. But it's really easy to see the impact of what they do, because you see the revenue come in. You see the bookings. So given this asymmetry, is it any wonder that marketing is often perceived, as a cost center? And so we hurt ourselves in marketing when we have dashboards and reports that are showing the activity, right? So an example of this, which unfortunately I still see sometimes, is we issued this many press releases. We published this many articles, things like that. That doesn't build credibility and respect. Results do. And the last one, and this really I do think is the worst thing that we can do as marketers, but it's also probably the most common, is framing our reports and analytics in terms of cost. Because when we do that, we are telling the rest of the executives that we are a cost center and not something that you invest in. True story, I once was talking to this marketer who managed to reduce their cost per lead by $10. They were so excited, they went to their CEO and said, hey, look at this amazing result. I reduced my cost per lead by $10. You know, he expected that he was going to get more budget because these results were so good. But you know what happened? The budget got reduced because now they can get the same number of leads for less money. Right? That's exactly what happens if you frame what you do in terms of cost. So I encourage you, and I encourage my team always, to talk about investment. Marketing investment. Investment, you know, per lead. Investment per opportunity. It frames psychologically the discussion in terms of something that builds power and credibility. So if those are the wrong metrics, what are the right metrics? You know, the first is, to me, the looking at how leads and accounts move through a journey. Sales cycles take a long time. Somebody might be in my system for months or years before they actually become pipeline. So I can't only rely on pipeline. I need leading indicators, and this helps us do that. The second category of good metrics really, you know, are looking at the specific impact of specific programs. So the journeys are sort of the overall performance of the system. This is, I did this thing, how did that do? We'll talk about both of these. And I think these are both credibility building outside of marketing. And lastly, there's a third category that I call boiler room metrics. Some of you may not be old enough to recognize Scotty from the Star Trek Enterprise. But you know, when Captain Kirk calls down to the boiler room, or the engine room, he doesn't care how hot the dilithium crystals are. He just cares how fast can the ship go. Right? But Scotty really does care. He needs to know how many dilithium crystals there are. And that's what I call boiler room metrics. These are metrics that matter to the marketing department, and you should have these and use them, but they don't need to be exposed externally. You had some thoughts.
Yeah, so from my perspective, in addition to what John said, what I'm really thinking about are two kind of key factors. The first is that volume doesn't drive behavior. So we talked about the vanity metrics. We really need context to drive value with the metrics that we're providing. But I'm also thinking about the volume of metrics that we're providing. So it's really easy to, you know, put a lot of components on a dashboard, and however pretty it may be, it can not always be the most helpful for your stakeholders. So really trying to simplify and understand your audience and what they're looking for, and trying to really streamline that process. And then the next one is in a similar vein, where good data should tell a story, but sometimes that story might need a little translation. So this is really also about understanding your stakeholders, developing that plan, and you might need to help define what the key takeaways should be. How do we make sure this metric is actionable, and what should we learn from it? What should we do next?
That's a great point. We actually, you'll see as we present in a second, a lot of our dashboards are actually presented and shared in a Google slide. You know, where we're taking screenshots out and putting them in, and that gives Ashley and others the ability to kind of provide that story and context around what otherwise would be a basic chart. So I promise some dad jokes, which will intersperse throughout each section. So before we get to the next section, we have another dad joke. I have to be able to see this one. All right, so my sweater had too much static electricity in it, so I decided to return it to the store, and you know what happened? They gave me one free of charge. Okay. So the first section we want to talk about is that kind of boiler room metrics. This is the pre-funnel engagement that are ways that we're sort of really thinking about our brand, our awareness, you know, our top of the funnel, you know, but not quite really impacting revenue metrics that the rest of the team is going to care about. And probably the single biggest theme that I have for this section is the concept of engagement as a measure for this area. Because as I like to say, before somebody spends the money with you, they're going to spend time with you. So how can we find ways to use time as a proxy for things like brand awareness, engagement, and all that kind of stuff? So you'll see that kind of built out through a bunch of these reports. So now let's get into it, the first report that we care about.
Yeah, so the first couple here that we're gonna talk about are all around digital engagement, digital performance, which I think probably makes sense for a lot of us. It's really gonna be our first stop for those top of funnel metrics. And really, web traffic is gonna be probably something that everyone's looking at. I really think about it as kind of active brain space, right? How well you're connecting with your audience, how much time they are actively engaged with your website is gonna be really critical. And the most important thing here is, again, moving past kind of just that volume metric where we're really trying to understand where are these metrics coming from and who's actually doing it. So you'll see we're kind of dividing by channel or source here for our web traffic, but we're also frequently looking at this by types of accounts or kind of key audiences that we're trying to reach.
Yeah, so, you know, for example, you know, last year we had a major initiative to increase engagement with the sales personas. Right, so we're able to then measure, all right, are we getting more engagement from those folks? We'll talk about ABM efforts in a minute, and do we get more engagement web traffic from the accounts that we care about? As a CMO, this one's particularly relevant to me because it's, to me, the cheapest proxy for a brand. You know, and I believe if our direct, particularly our direct traffic, to a second degree our SEO traffic, but really the direct traffic, people typing demandbase.com into a browser, is not a bad proxy for growing brand awareness. You know, so to complement that with surveys, this is something that I definitely look at.
The next one is gonna be SEO. So, of course, this is gonna be a great indicator of website optimization, your general online visibility. But I actually like this one as well to monitor kind of competitor placements. This is sort of a secondary objective where we're able to see increases in how our competitors are presenting themselves. And it's kind of a good indicator ahead of maybe an official launch or announcement. And here again, that segmentation, you'll see we're actually segmenting by a primary keyword group, which is great. So here we're looking at advertising, but we're able to really divide essentially our main products into this view and get real insights out of that.
This can actually be really important because, you know, all you need is for your head of sales to go type some keyword into Google and you don't show up on the keyword they happen to type. And like, oh gosh, the SEO is no good, right? So the ability to sort of have these numbers to share with the rest of folks, say, look, the actual, you know, trends are, you know, can be credibility building.
And then the last one here is looking at advertising lift. So of course, this is gonna be important as to how we are investing in advertising from a marketing perspective, how we're reaching our target audiences. And what we're really primarily focused on here is dividing this analysis by our advertising spend. So you'll see we have tiers on the screen that's gonna be focused primarily on our target accounts here and understanding if we're spending more money, are we getting essentially that return with this lift and through that spend in advertising.
There actually was one more. Qualified responses.
Yes. Yeah, and I just wanted to introduce this concept of a qualified response or how we think about it. You'll see it a couple times through this presentation, but it's really gonna be looking at people that fall into one of our target personas at accounts that are within our TAM, which is just adding this qualified lens, right? Essentially understanding not just the volume, but is it the right people that are engaging with us?
Yeah, a lot of companies might call these leads, but you know, these are, you know, the right person, the right company who responded to one of our campaigns. I live and die by this metric as probably my number one top of the funnel metric, both the, as you know, the numbers is here, but also the investment per qualified response. Now you'll notice this chart's going down. And as a CMO, that's a little scary, right? I'd rather have charts going up and to the right. These are our real numbers. But we've also spent or invested a lot less money during this time period. And so the actual, you know, it's just important. That's one of like the pieces of color and caveat on top of these that's important to kind of hit.
And then the last one here in this section before we move on to sort of middle funnel, kind of conversion, journey-based metrics, is tracking this level of engagement over time. So this is actually a screenshot directly from Demandbase where we're monitoring kind of engagement minute trends over time, really understanding how these different segments are actively engaging with us. And I actually really like this because it's really actionable for our marketing team. It's really easy to see when we're experiencing dips or where we need to focus on different audiences here. And the other nice thing, or just thing to note, so you can see kind of a dip at at the end of this chart as well. And it's about adding that context. So for us, as John mentioned, we have, you know, a reduced budget. We've been spending a little less money with these audiences. So actually staying kind of flat, we're saying, is decently positive.
I'll totally win. This is a great one to slice and dice by region and territory and even by rep too, to kind of figure out what's going on. Okay, so this is a new dad joke I've never used before, courtesy of Ashley. I'm
gonna have to get a little. So make sure you laugh.
So, do you think your prospects prefer "Don't Stop Believin'" or "Any Way You Want It"? You know, it doesn't matter as long as you understand their buyer's journey. Which is a good lead into this next section, which is really all about journey analytics. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
So, yeah, I sort of alluded to this one before. You know, now we're getting to the metrics that really give marketing credibility, right? Of course we care about pipeline. Of course we care about revenue. You know, these are super important, but we need leading indicators. We all can't wait 18 months before we show the impact of something. So by working backwards and defining stages beforehand, we can understand leading indicators, both how are we doing, how many do we get, as well as how many do we get compared to how many we think we need, based upon fancy models that Ashley builds. And you'll notice here, we do believe in the double funnel, which is we're looking at both a lead-based journey as well as an account-based journey, because those matter to us both. And across all the different journeys, I like to look at what I call the four Vs. And I am cheating a little bit here, but value. You know, this is the number of accounts that I have at a stage at a point in time. Think of that as my bank account balance. Volume is movement. How many accounts moved into a qualified stage last quarter? And how did that compare to how many I need? Conversion is pretty self-explanatory. That's where I'm cheating on my Vs. And lastly, velocity. How long does it take? Collectively, these are metrics that Ashley uses to build her waterfall models so that we can understand not just how we're doing, but how well are we doing compared to how we need to do. So let's dive into our metrics.
Yeah, so this is another screenshot directly from DemandBase, and you're actually seeing all four of these right in action here. So we're really able to look at how accounts are progressing downward through that funnel. We're seeing conversion metrics. We're seeing how things are moving from stage to stage. And the thing that I really like here is, you know, we're specifying the quarter over quarter time frame, but we're also specifying audiences. So you can see the two different colored bars in the chart there, and that's actually indicating to separate account audiences. So really nice to compare your different segments, whether it's account or whether it's kind of target account versus non. Really great here to kind of monitor the changes between those different types of audiences.
Not surprisingly, this is a keyboard level metric. Are we creating enough marketing qualified accounts and enough SQL accounts and opportunity accounts against our goals?
And then from a kind of MQ, meaning MQL or MQA as part of our double funnel here, we're also, of course, looking at the metrics and how we're progressing down the funnel through these. The thing that I like here is kind of adding in additional context past that volume, past that conversion, but we're also looking at how our sales team's interacting, so accepting, rejecting leads, how they're dispositioning them, and really ultimately using this to make improvements to the process. And then here, so kind of taking it a step further, where we're obviously interested to see how MQs are converting to opportunities, but it's super important as well to tie that to the actual opportunity journey here too. So we have a variety of metrics that we look at, but we're really dividing our opportunity base based on MQL or MQA or neither generated, and kind of understanding how those are progressing. So we're seeing, you know, potentially higher conversion rates in some areas, or less lost in kind of SQL or early opportunity stages, which is really nice to kind of tie back to those sales metrics.
This one's really subtle. It's interesting because a lot of our SDRs are going to be calling into accounts before their MQA or MQL because they want to kind of make sure they're getting stuff, which is a good behavior, right? Because if they're finding opportunities, that's important. But in some ways, it goes against MQLs because if they're sort of cherry-picking the stuff out the top. I'll get to why this is important in a minute, but it's just interesting to sort of note that these sometimes play against each other and people need to understand that.
And when we talk about tying it back to pipeline, I just wanted to show you like the world's most simplified formulas here, but this is really how we are part of that conversation, making sure marketing is involved in the pipeline goal, pipeline generation process, and really simply, you know, we are using, like John mentioned, waterfall methods. We're doing a reverse waterfall where we're backing into MQs, and really trying to take ownership of that funnel with our sales counterparts. And then speaking of the kind of funnel, one thing that I see a lot is that conversion rates, opportunity conversion rates, are typically sales-only metrics. But we're really trying to, again, own that entire funnel, right? We are having this active conversation with our sales teams when we see decreases or increases in conversion rates, and understanding how can marketing improve or kind of build upon what we're doing to try to improve that as an organization. Yep.
Two other things I wanted to throw on here. This is in the spirit of the reports your CMO wants to see. I want to see this. We haven't quite achieved this ourselves internally yet. But it's great for marketing not just to say how many opportunities have been created, but could come up with a forecast. How many will we create next month and the month after that and the month after that? Just like sales has a forecast, when marketing can bring a forecast to the table, it's the number one most credibility building thing I've ever seen. And a stagger chart like this is a great way to present that. Last point I want to make in this section is what I alluded to a second ago. A lot of companies are measuring their results in terms of marketing source or marketing influenced pipeline. We don't do that. I think that's wrong. I think it goes against the very team-based nature of what creating pipeline today is all about. This is a partnership between marketing and sales. So everything we're reporting on is team-sourced pipeline. You know, and that's kind of what Ashley was talking about in terms of looking at the conversion rates, taking ownership of the whole thing. At the end of the day, if the SDRs are going to be cherry picking stuff out and that hurts the MQL number, it doesn't matter because we have a shared pipeline goal. All right, last section, or last dad joke before we get to the last section, which is, my geography teacher asked me to name a country with no R in the name. Can you think of one? I responded with, no way. Hopefully you get that one. Okay, so last section is all about measuring the impact of specific programs. Remember, we haven't mentioned any programs yet when we're talking about the journeys. So the most important thing I think about, there's really two factors when looking at program reporting. The first one is attribution is flawed. Attribution is at best a set of guesses around what might have an impact based upon how you've chosen to allocate things. Which means I don't think you should ever use attribution to say this program had this ROI, right? Because it's just it's not accurate enough. So instead, use it to figure out which programs work better than other programs. Or as I like to say, use your attribution to improve your ROI, not prove your ROI. The second point I want to make before Ashley shares some reports is that there's a short-term and a long-term way to look at your programs. You know, immediately after we run a program, I want to know what was our investment per qualified response, right? Because I know what we invested and I know how many qualified responses we got. I can know that immediately, and it's a quick judge on the value of a program. But to really know the attribution impact of the pipeline, it's going to take a couple quarters, right? So we have a way we look at things kind of monthly, immediately, and then also kind of a broader look back period. I think they're both important.
Yeah, so diving into what that program review kind of process looks like, our short term is what we call our monthly program review, where we're really analyzing programs that happened last month and reviewing those short term results. So you can see we're reviewing campaign goal progress, we're reviewing that cost per or investment per qualified metric. And my favorite thing actually that we're doing in both our monthly and our quarterly, which is sort of the long-term attribution process, is we're really building in this critical thinking. So every time a program owner reviews their program, they're asked, was this successful? You know, would you do this again? What would you change? And if the answer is, I wouldn't do it again, we actually think that's great, right? We're learning from we're learning where we can improve and making changes based on the data that we're reviewing, which I think is awesome. And on the next slide, we have our campaign goals. So I wanted to show this. So our program owners have total control over the campaign goals that they set for their programs. So this could have a variety of kind of outcomes that we're looking for. But I love this slide because it really drives home that sort of volume is not the end-all be-all, right? You can see programs that have exceeded their goal with a small amount of responses or attendance that we're looking for. But that's because that's exactly exactly what we expected to happen. So really layering in this context and proving out that not all programs are created equal and should not be measured as such. So our quarterly program review is where we start to layer in that attribution concept. So we are going to be looking at our attribution once per quarter. This is going to look at the previous quarter, kind of year to date, as well as a six-month wrap-up. So we look at essentially, for instance, in October, we'll review Q1 programs as well as sort of how Q3 is progressing so far. And this is really great because it gives us sort of that context for where we are, where we want to go. And we're looking at attribution by stage, which I love, excited to talk about in a second. But we're also bringing in this concept of a multi-touch ratio. I'll give you the official definition, but it's essentially a simplified ROI metric to understand how that investment is influencing these opportunities at various stages. And then again, layering in that critical thinking piece. So for our attribution model, we are using a full, a true multi-touch model. It's a custom model with a focus on opportunity and especially the pipeline stage of opportunity. And my favorite thing that we do is we're really leveraging this attribution model to its fullest. Of course, we're looking at the dollar and the opportunity count kind of influence here, but your attribution model is also a built-in process to understand engagement at every stage of the opportunity. So we're looking at things that happened before it was created, we're looking at between SQL and pipeline, and then between pipeline and closed. And what this looks like on the next slide is going to be something like this, where now marketing is getting such an interesting insight as to how every program is impacting different stages of opportunities. This is really nice as we're trying to make assumptions or kind of influence, especially when we think about that kind of conversion rate opportunity slide. What can we do to help improve those? And we're also looking at providing this to sales too, which is an insight into what they can provide to help accelerate deals as well.
Some of these are little boiler room metrics when we get to like the specific channels, but the ability at the highest level to go to the executive team and talk about how not just we're creating pipeline, but we're accelerating deals is, I think, pretty important. We're almost done, folks. I know we're kind of basically...
Sorry, eating into your lunch here. So just want to show you the MT ratio, attributed dollars divided by kind of that program investment to understand where we're impacting these different stages. And we do have different goals for these different stages depending on the program. And then the last thing, not explicitly tied to attribution, but wanted to show you how we kind of present efficiency as a metric to our business. So this is really comparing marketing investment to opportunity count, opportunity dollars. You can see that qualified response metric here too. And this is a really unified conversation between sales and marketing. So we're really talking about the business performance as a whole and really monitoring those trends and the ebbs and flows as we progress through the year and develop additional programs.
This is a board level slide, you know, because this literally is like, you give me this many dollars, I'm going to give you this much pipeline. And then how is that, you know, trending in terms of efficiency or not? It's one of the most important slides, I think, that we actually have. So with that, we're going to wrap things up with one final dad joke. So at this point, we've had our new CSO for a couple months on board at Demandbase. But when he first started, I said, you know, hey, bro, you want to see the new marketing pamphlet? He responded, brochure. Now, marketing is not the team that does color brochures and pamphlets. We are a group that does try to show our impact on revenue. So ultimately, if you are in operations, my takeaways for you are hopefully, number one, help your CMO market your marketing internally, right? People are going to be naturally inclined to see this as a cost center. And the more you can help the CMO teach the other executives that you're having an impact on the things they care about, you know, the better. Number two, make sure the external reports that get, you know, not the boiler room, but the external ones speak the language of business. Frame things in terms of investments and pipeline and revenue as much as possible. Number three, you know, the internal stuff to marketing should be about those leading indicators. And then last but not least, use your attribution of things in order to improve, not prove, your marketing. With that, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks, everybody.
The OpStars podcast is brought to you by Lean Data. To find out more about us and our suite of Salesforce native products for marketing, sales, and revenue operations, head to leandata.com and then make sure to search for OpStars in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else that podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss on any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at OpStars and Lean Data, thanks for listening.